Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Farron, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, now singing the Mike Farron Open, it's Mike Stibbs.
Just make sure it sounds sexy, Stibbs.
Lord Almighty, how can you stand Arizona? Your fair skin must be burning down into your absent soul. Mike, 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 we can barely hear you. It sounds to me like you called us from inside a hole. But your phone calls lift me higher, like the ERA of Mark Pryor. Your hair looks like it's on fire. You're Mike Farron.
Oh!
You're just a hunk of
and
hunk
now,
of burning love.
Ladies and gentlemen, our favorite ceiling fan in all of radio, there he is, Mike Farron!
Mike!
Baseball!
Hi, guys.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Ooh, and look at the brand new microphone you have.
Yeah!
This is the same one that I've had.
Oh, it is? We just see it differently now.
Yeah. Is that better? Does that look more
you
natural?
You look great,
now?
Mike.
Yeah, you look good.
Hey, it's nice to see you guys.
It is.
Is it?
Not Josh.
Even Nick?
Not Josh.
I think he likes seeing Nick more than he likes seeing me.
I'm sorry you guys were cutting out there. What did you say?
I don't know.
We have the same sock puppets hat.
Very cool, Nick. Very cool.
That's really cool.
Hey, Mike, did you sign up
great, Nick.
Did you sign up for MLB.TV today with T-Mobile Tuesdays?
Well, my understanding is that it's free if you're a T-Mobile subscriber, so you can get all of the out-of-market games from MLB.com just by signing up.
I signed up.
Remember, Sprint used to be part of, or is now part of T-Mobile, so if you were a Sprint customer,
like your boy,
there's a good chance that you get that.
Yeah. I got it. Can't wait to watch baseball.
We're watching the Cubs and the White Sox right now, as a matter of fact.
Awesome.
And in a game
nothing
that
like is exhibition games.
Oh, I love it, Mike.
It's only an hour and 49 minutes old, and we're in the bottom of the sixth. So that's going to
wow,
be
that's a pitch slower ticker. Game.
Yeah, it is a slower game. I that is something I am literally going to look at in every box score is how long was the game? Just because it really is. It's going to be so fascinating to see how everything plays out this year. And we've seen, and I think we talked about this last time we had you on, the average game in the exhibition schedule has been about 20 to 25 minutes shorter. I am curious if that carries over one for one to the major league, you know, to the regular season games, but it will be shorter.
Yeah, I mean, I think 25 minutes is probably wishful thinking. I mean, my dogs clearly are wishful thinking on this.
Which one? Which one's barking?
The cable guys are here to try and fix my internet. I think we're going to see a serious reduction in time.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if it's around 25 minutes. And I think that's really healthy. I mean, we're talking about average game times in spring training that we haven't seen since, you know, John, you and I were kids. Like, we're talking like 1985. And as much as I get concerned that some of the changes that we're looking at are trying to force feed 1980s baseball on the modern public, which is one of my concerns, because I mean, listen, we all love the baseball we grew up with, right? If we love baseball. Josh doesn't like baseball at all, but for those of us who actually like baseball, watching, you know, the game that we fell in love with when we were like 9, 10, 11, 12 is what's most important to us. And that's certainly the case for Major League Baseball when Theo Epstein's running the show, right? But I do think the one thing from that era that we really could use back is game times in that range, because what it'll do is it will help to keep younger viewers and listeners engaged longer. It will give them a chance to see the most important parts of games. And I think it's going to make it easier for families to be able to attend the full breadth of games, much like it was for, you know, in AAA this last year. I'm talking to Storm Chaser people when I was out there. That was one of the things that they brought up.
There was an opinion, and of course you were there. You were calling the game for SiriusXM, the great Japan versus USA final,
yeah,
and the dramatic ninth inning with the showdown between Ohtani and Trout. Now, there was no pitch clock in the World Baseball Classic. C.J. Nitkowski brought up an interesting opinion, and I tend to agree with him. Baseball, the drama, the buildup, the anticipation between the pitches is a big part of postseason baseball. Do you think we may have to consider conditional ninth inning, reduce the pitch clock?
I think it's foolish to play. So it'd be like playing an entire basketball game and then have a ticky-tack foul call that was 1.2 seconds left.
You went there!
I think CJ's wrong. I mean, I think he's just wrong. Like, do you have any idea how long 20 seconds is when there's men on base? It's a lot of time. It's plenty of time to build the tension of the situation. It's plenty of time to talk about that. He's looking to retro, and this is a colleague and a friend of mine, like, he's looking to retrofit rules for something that doesn't really exist as an issue. Let's see it play out at the major league level. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I've done enough of these games with the pitch clock to know that you can still build the tension in those moments. The game is going to build the tension, and the anticipation is great, but 40 seconds of anticipation is not any better and probably worse than 18 to 20 seconds of anticipation. The payoff comes quicker. You're still anticipating it. That part doesn't change. You're just not sitting on your hands for twice as long.
You know, Mike, when I was reading stories this morning, one of my kind of takeaways was I can't really remember a season in recent years where there wasn't something like real negative hanging over the season. And I know like the RSN stuff is in the background and we've talked about that with you, but like I think back to COVID in 2020 and the labor discussions that we had with you before the 2021 and 2022 seasons. And then I read John Greenberg today in The Athletic, and he wrote, as we head into the 23 season, I find myself wondering, when was the last time baseball has gotten good PR like it has this spring? When is the last time Major League Baseball leadership enacted changes that were popular with everyone? And it kind of hit me. It's not just that we're not talking about the negatives, but that we are genuinely positive and excited. And a lot of that's the pitch clock stuff. And then obviously what just happened, you know, in the World Baseball Classic and that. And so there does seem to be genuine excitement. I wonder if you have sensed that from your listeners, from your co-hosts, from people that you talk to inside the sport right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great point, and I think it's, you know, part of what we're dealing with now is, you know, the WBC helped to bring some of that about.
I mean,
the fact that as much as everybody wanted to talk about what time the tournament should be held, I mean, like the fact that it was quick and that it happened the way that it did and the way it unfolded in the games get people fired up, and it's almost a shame that we had a week between the end of those and the start of the regular season. But yeah, I think it's right. I think baseball has been searching for good publicity to get people excited about it. And I think, you know, listen, one of the things they want to showcase is the athleticism, and they're hoping that the rule changes have done that to show off the fact that these guys are crazy freakish athletes. Like Shohei Ohtani, if he'd grown up in the States, would be playing tight end in the SEC, like, or wide receiver. Like, he's massive. I don't think people realize that. And he's also one of the fastest guys in the league. So I think those elements of it are real positives coming into the year, and I think it's something for us to get excited about. And I think for those who are continuing to naysay about, you know, some of the rule changes because they fear change, I mean, you know, I think once we get through the first couple of weeks of the season, I think you're going to see that most everything is pretty positive, with the exception of those who are going to hold out just because they can hold out.
Obviously, the WBC built a lot of momentum. It was the most watched, most anticipated, probably most promoted, honestly, WBC we've ever seen. So what do you think the conversations are going to be like between now and the next one 4 years from now? There were also some
injuries. 3 years from now. 2026 is when it's going to be.
Oh, 3 years. Okay, three years from now. There were some injuries in there that did impact some of the teams this season. How do you think the conversation is going to be? Because you know what these are like. Once you hit on something, you're like, okay, now we got to make it better. Where do you think they try to go with this? How do they think they try to build the momentum off of this?
Yeah, I think most of it's going to be trying to get more star players involved, you know, especially in the pitching side. And I think that's where the thing is that this is an arrangement with the league and the Players Association, right? So the Players Association is in on this. Like, they like the event too. And I think all the players who were involved in it had a great time with it this year. And when you hear Adam Wainwright say, this is the coolest thing I've been a part of, I'm going to talk to every pitcher and every position player that I know and convince them that they need to be a part of this, I think it carries a lot of weight. So I absolutely think that that's something that's going to happen. And I think that's where going to be the biggest drive in it is going to be trying to get more star players involved. Remember the injuries we had, like the Altuve injury is unfortunate, right? He got hit by a pitch. That could happen in a spring training game. The Diaz injury is really unfortunate. That didn't happen during the course of competition. It happened while guys were bouncing in front of the mound. I don't know how you can adjust for that, right? There's going to be injuries in spring training games just in the way that there are in WBC games. Does it take on a different magnitude because it's outside the normal course of action? I guess. But, like, let's not forget that baseball players aren't paid to participate in exhibition games. There is a cash prize to play in the WBC, but there is not any pay that comes to any major leaguer on the 40-man roster or not. There's basically they get stipends or per diems to go through spring training. So those games are far less meaningful to the players or to the people involved than the WBC games are. And not to mention, like, how can you trade out that level of intensity and excitement for, you know, facing a third tier A ball pitcher in the fifth inning for, you know, like as you're trying to get your at bats in? Like, I don't think there's any comparison.
Hey, Mike, what do you think best explains why there was more interest in the WBC this year versus past? Is it just that it had been so long? Is it the stars that we're talking about? Is it the final that we got where it's America versus Japan and Shohei? Like, what? Because there seemed to be more excitement the entire lead up, and then the numbers obviously backed it up too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a couple things. I mean, one, the fact that the U.S. won in 17 was good, that kind of put it on the collective consciousness. That was their first win. I think having Trout and Betts and Goldschmidt and Arenado and Otani and Darvish and, you know, hell, when the U.S. played Venezuela in the quarters, Venezuela had 8 former All-Stars in their lineup. Like 7 position players and the starter that was a former All-Star. I mean, so you're talking about star-level players. So I think that's part of it. And I think it's just part of the grassroots growth of it. I mean, this is the fifth one, right? It's been 17 years since it started. And the attitudes towards it are a lot different than they were in 2006. So I think there's a number of different factors. And I think, you know, there's now a qualifying tournament that I think some people who are really into international amateur baseball or international baseball got into. That's what you know, saw the Czech Republic and Panama and Great Britain qualify. And I think you're going to see, you know, more interest in it as we keep going forward. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the U.S. won in 17 and then you ended up with, you know, kind of the dream final with them playing Japan was just kind of icing on the cake.
I think, too, Fox having it and promoting it as they did. Yeah. I mean, you saw it in the Super Bowl broadcast. You saw it was there. It was, I think, the
Showed
most
up during college basketball.
I thought it was the most promoted WBC, pre-promoted, than I've ever seen.
I think that's probably fair, too. And I think, you know, even MLB Network Television did a lot to promote it ahead of time.
Right.
You know, John Paul Morosi, who's one of their reporters, is a big international baseball fan and has been telling these stories for a long period of time in anticipation of the event. So, you know, I think all of it factored in. But I think it's now part of our spring every few years, and I love it. I hope it stays on the 3-year cycle. I'm bummed we don't have one the next couple because it's just having participated in it, it's an incredible event. And if you ever get a chance to go to it, like it's worth it, especially if you can end up in a pool that has a ton of Latin American fans because the energy and joy that they bring in the stands is a lot different than what we're used to as domestic fans.
On to the season now, which starts in a couple of days. The Astros are the defending champs. They've turned the page on their older starting pitchers. It's now all youth in the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. Who do you think becomes the ace of that staff?
I think it's Framber Valdez, probably.
Okay.
I mean, Christian Javier has really overwhelming stuff, too. But Valdez is, you know, well-primed. I mean, he's an excellent starting pitcher. He was tremendous in the playoffs last year. I think Valdez is probably the anchor on that staff. But it's really good. They're really good. They're really talented. And you're right. They are really young still. So I think that's an exciting part of what the Astros have going forward is that they have this core rotation that are very good. And then you add in guys like Hunter Brown who are still coming, who you know have just touched the big leagues a little bit, who are going to provide really quality depth for them. It's a little different, the Astros team, than what we saw with the strong offense when they first started this run. They've shifted a little bit. Their offense is still very good, There's some depth issues there. I think there's some concerns about just the way they've gone about some of their business this winter in terms of not adding depth. Part of it was because they didn't hire a general manager until January. The owner was acting as the de facto general manager, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's helped a lot of teams win a lot of championships.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Cowboys.
Can I flip you guys off on the YouTube? I don't know if I'm allowed to flip you guys off on YouTube. I want to flip you off. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to get in trouble with the bosses.
Just consider me a hand on the hip of the shooter in this.
Okay.
That's hilarious, Mike. Make fun of John more.
No.
More John.
No. Terrible. Terrible.
Mike, who's a team that you like? You look at the power rankings right now near the top, and you're like, I'm out on them. And who's a team closer to the middle or bottom that you're like, I'm a little more bullish on them?
I don't look at power rankings.
Gosh darn it!
Yes,
you're just the hardest person to ask questions of.
We were wondering if we were gonna. Well, that technically wasn't the answer, but if we were gonna get an answer of
the games haven't been played. I can't answer that question. Cool. Thanks, Mike.
Really hard to determine who the best teams are without playing 100.
Oh. Are the Mariners going to be good? All the Mariners people always come out in the woodwork. There you go. Mariners will be good. That's
Mariners
an answer.
Be good.
How about the Rockies?
No. They're going to suck.
No, the Rockies won't be good. Yeah. Well, now we're going on. This is year 14.
Of?
Since the Yankees won a World Series.
2009.
Of when I started doing this show.
Or when you started doing this show.
About the same time. Is Mike the reason why the Yankees haven't won the World Series?
Maybe. Longer than 14 years.
Yeah, no, it has been longer than 14 years, actually. How concerned should Yankee fans be about the health of Carlos Rodon, the elbow?
I mean, I think they should be a little bit concerned, and not just because of that, but the Severino injury on top of it and the Montas surgery. I mean, you know, one of the strengths of this team was really going to be their starting pitching, and they just they're not at full strength right now. I have some questions about their offense. I think their offensive performance in the second half last year wasn't particularly good, and they're going to be counting on a rookie at shortstop, and hoping that Josh Donaldson's swing adjustments take. And so I'm not sure that it's quite the same offense they've been. The bullpen should still be pretty good, even though the names aren't necessarily quite as famous as they've had as part of this run of success. But I do think that there is enough room to be a little bit worried about it. That said, I mean, just a quick reminder that 40% of each league makes the playoffs now. And so all you have to do is really finish with one of the top six records and you're in pretty good shape. And so I think the Yankees are probably going to be fine in that regard. I don't think they're going to be, outside of that group. But I do think that, you know, whereas a year ago I felt like they were prohibitive favorites in the East, it doesn't feel that way right now. Toronto's pretty good. The Rays should be a good team again. So I think they're going to get pushed a little different than they were a year ago. And so from that standpoint, I would say, I guess there's a little bit of room for concern.
Mike, how much of the outfield shift do you think we're going to see this year?
Not very much. The risk reward on that is really, really.
That's what I thought.
I mean, it's like the whole reason why you're willing to give up singles the other way against a shift is because it's just one base, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to take a left fielder and put him in shallow right, like basically what you're doing is you're giving up three bases in that spot. And the run expectancy with a man at third and however many outs is significantly higher than a man at first and however many outs. So I don't see it happening very often.
The Padres, who next to the Mets, spend some more. They added Xander Bogaerts. Of course, Tatis will be back to fully armed and operational status here soon. Machado is back. But could the difference in the Padres actually cashing in this time versus an early playoff exit be if Juan Soto returns to his usual self?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're really good. I think once Tatis comes back, the top of that lineup with Soto, Machado, Tatis, Bogaerts is going to be it's going to be incredible, right? I think they're a really, really good lineup. And I think they have some starting pitching depth that can help them. So I'm pretty bullish on the Padres. I think they're going to be a very, very good team this season. I'm excited to see what they look like. I think they are a team that has to be one of the favorites in the National League to get to the World Series. I still think Atlanta is really good too. And I think that's a team that, you know, because they didn't make it to the LCS, we kind of are sleeping on. They won 101 games last year. They've gotten at least a push in terms of talent, if not better, with Sean Murphy over Swanson in their lineup. I'm very bullish on the Braves too, but the Padres are excellent.
We know you got to run because the internet folks are trying to fix your internet, but I wanted to ask a couple of quick predictive questions. Number one, will Ohtani and Trout make the playoffs, or
yes,
will they be watching their classic
the
AB
goat
on YouTube in October?
I think they're probably still going to be watching on TV, but this is a much deeper Angels group, especially from the position player side, than they have been the last several years. And if Anthony Rendon bounces back, I think they're capable of getting there. It's just that there's that back part of the American League and battling for the wild card spots is going to be pretty stout, and you're going to need to not have a lot of things go wrong to be in that. I mean, whether it's them or the Rays or the Rangers, who have, you know, if they're healthy, the Rangers could be very, very good. And you know, I think you put the White Sox, the Twins in that mix as well. Like, that's a really difficult group to start trying to pull teams out of. So it's not going to be easy for them. But, you know, like, I think, you know, Astros, Mariners, Yankees, Jays are probably pretty good locks to make the playoffs, and then you're looking at a Central Division winner and one wild card spot.
Either the Mariners win the World Series, or the Cubs or the Royals make the playoffs. Which is more likely?
Mariners winning the World Series.
Definitely.
Terrible answer. Yeah. And finally, banknote on your home is on the line. You have four teams to pick to win the World Series. Which teams are you picking?
I'm not going to put my banknote on the line. I want to make sure that you're not going to try and steal my house.
I'm not, but don't worry. Scott Fraw has some extra room in his home there near where you live.
Yes, it's $5 million home.
It's a lot of
money. I'll invite you to live with him.
My neighbor.
Yeah, your neighbor.
Yep. You know, autograph the comic book for me.
I bet he would.
I think I would say Padres, Braves.
Ooh, Braves.
Blue Jays, Mariners.
Whoa, that's a fun foursome.
Whoa, that was, I mean, no Astros, no Yankees, no Mets.
I want to see a Blue Jays, Mariners, ALCS.
Mark that, put that
on the
list.
All right, I'm
so when it doesn't happen, we get the banknote to Mike's house.
Awesome, all right, I'm putting it there.
And his internet.
Nice.
All right, Mike Farron, ladies and gentlemen, we look forward to our visits every Tuesday.
I do too. I'm glad to be back. Just like I'm glad to be at the free throw line with a second left.
Wow.
God, you're an ass.
And that's,
you know,
another
it was a foul,
season,
right?
I know it was a foul, but the problem was the other 39 minutes and 59 seconds were not called the same way. That's the problem. And once again, officials never have to answer for their crap. They're not accountable. Just like the umpire that threw out Real Muto yesterday. What a moron. All right, Mike
Farron. Bye, Mike. Good to see you.
Back to troll us again for another year.
Bye-bye.
There he is, Mike Farron of SiriusXM MLB Radio.
All right, so he gave us Padres, Blue Jays, Mariners, and...
Padres, Blue Jays, Mariners, and...
There was a second team before Blue Jays.
Braves.
Thank you. Yes, because I thought of Josh Johnson.
That is a foursome.
Wow, that'd be wild.
Well, speaking of that...
Padres, Mariners for the World Series.
Speaking of that... Tomorrow, Josh and I, like we did last year.
Oh yeah, how did that go last year?
You didn't hit one.
What?
You didn't hit one.
Rats!
We're each going to have $100 of fake money, actually of Nick's money, that we're going to bet on futures that you can bet on right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Promo code, or FanDuel.com.
It's easier to say promo code 1620. Just remember 1620 when you sign up. But anyway.
I would say Padres, Braves...
Ooh, Braves.
Blue Jays, Mariners.
That's a fun foursome.
Nice. I mean, he literally just wasted one there on the Mariners.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Seattle Rick and Stibbs.
I do like that he went out there a little bit. But yeah, we're going to each have $100, and we're going to place wagers on MLB futures and see who does the best at the end of the season. We'll do that tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too.
I thought I made some smart picks last year, and then the White Sox screwed me.
Oh, Nate Klaus's White Sox.
Yeah.
Can I play too this year?
If you'd like.
Cool. Yeah, of course, Nick. I'll do research.
Do some research. Yeah. Go to FanDuel.com and check out all the Major League Baseball futures.
Is this the year Nick throws himself into baseball like he has football?
I want to.
He's slowly becoming
a
sports fan.
He is.
Next year, the NBA, Nick.
Probably
of,
not.
Of real sports where there are lead changes and stuff. Like there's been lead changes in this baseball
game. Props to you, Nick. I'm proud of you, man.
The Red Bulls are hard to beat this year.
I'm proud of you.
Isn't that a soccer team?
That's MLS.
No.
They are.
They are. Yeah, they are.
Probably,
the New York Red Bulls.
It's not the Red Bulls that matter.
Wow.
Wow.
That is true.
Also, John Bishop wants to know, does dirt make a sound? Yeah,
it's kind of crunchy. Dirt's kind of crunchy.
No, that's the sound that you're making when you're sliding on it, but the dirt.
That's the dirt.
No, that's the human body sliding on the ground and the pants.
Have you never?
It's the pleats and the pants.
You never put dirt up in your ear?
It's the pleats.
You can hear dirt noise.
No, I can't hear dirt.
When they slide into the bag!
Behind the bag!
I got an email real quick. I wonder if I can find it. Someone this weekend emailed me and they were like, I was looking for something and I couldn't find it. And then I realized it's probably, here it is, from Dave. Dave wrote in, hello, Dave. I was looking in my storage closet for some large food containers, and I was sad I couldn't find them at first glance. Then I thought they might be behind the chips, and I screamed, behind the bags! Sure enough, that's where it was. It's like, wow.
I don't know why that became a thing all of a sudden.
The 1986 World Series has invaded our brains. It was a very famous World Series.
It was.
I think I like the way Josh says it more than the original
behind
call.
The bag!
Wow.
It gets through Buckner.
Somebody thinks that Josh Peterson is better than Vin Scully.
No,
that's the nicest thing anyone has
ever
said.
The way Josh says it is more funny than Vin Scully.
Behind the bag!
Sorry, it's because when Scully was saying it, it wasn't meant to be funny.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Unless you hate the Red Sox and you were just laughing hysterically.
He says, I am like the Adam Sandler longest yard versus the Burt Reynolds.
Oh,
longest.
Get out of here. CJ wants to opine on something under the subject header, the MLB lie.
Whoa, CJ.
That's what it says on the call screener, CJ. It says the MLB lied.
Well, it is. They did because they did the intentional walk thing that they're saving time when really they didn't want to take a risk of passing the ball. I mean, it's just, in my opinion, that's just that simple. But also then, so if they want to save time, when a guy hits a home run, why don't they just put a run on the board and not make him run the bases?
Great call.
That would save time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we don't have to make every game an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I might watch more. That's faster than a soccer
match.
Faster than Formula One.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand the pitching and the saving time and stuff, but it just seems to me like they'd rather put a man on base and risk a pass ball. That's the whole reason behind it.
Well, I mean, that rule was changed a few years ago, and I agree,
I understand.
I don't think that rule should have been changed. I think the pitcher should have been forced to make the pitch.
I think that just adds attention to the game.
I do too. Creighton literally won a tournament game because someone overshot the catcher on a pass ball.
Mm-hmm.
It was classic.
You know, it doesn't happen often, but when it did, it counted. So anyway, that's my take. Let's just save the game. Let's just save a lot of time on the game.
All right, perfect. Thank you, CJ.
You know what? One pitch. Every guy gets one pitch.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Let's give all the runners little lime scooters instead of making them run.
That'd go faster.
They'd go faster.
Now you're just being silly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, baseball.
Wow, what a sport.
It's a great sport.
Baseball.
It's definitely good that Farron's getting his internet fixed because it was cutting in and out a couple times.
Yeah.
It was.
Mm. Yeah, you can. You know what it is? Probably Scafra using up all the bits.
What's he watching?
Golden Tee Let's Plays.
He's certainly not watching moments of his greatest moments at Nebraska.
The Michigan State game over and over.
That wouldn't take money bits of data.
Do you think he has a copy of that same newspaper we have in here and he just reads it constantly?
Maybe he does.
I still hate you, Tom Stell.
It's what Scott Frost says, not me.
All right. Coming back with more. Oh, my gosh. Look, NFL hot takes. Speaking of betting, there's win totals out.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't have a market. Okay.
I didn't have...
Well, it's kind of an adopted NFL hot takes. Mm. Plus, we still have to hear from Coach Rhule.
Oh.
He did other things besides take veil shots at Colorado today
mm-hmm.
at Husker practice. We'll have all of that coming up on 1620 The Zone.